Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging on to that site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, the last few times on Hope for Today, we've been studying from the opening verses of Luke chapter 11. These verses contain what is often called the Lord's Prayer. In my opening comments last time, I suggested that we might better call this the Model Prayer. And rather than memorizing it and repeating it from memory, we would do better to look at the ideas and the commands that are contained in the prayer, and then apply those to all of our prayers. Let me review some of what we talked about last time. First, I said there are several imperatives or commands in this text. If we learn what these are and follow them, we will learn how to pray more effectively. The first imperative was a request for instruction. The second imperative was a reverence for the Father. Today, we'll begin looking at the final imperative, the recognition of our need. As we resume our study, let me read the text, Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We come now to the third imperative. Your will be done. This third petition is clarified by the following words, As in heaven, so on earth. How is the will of God performed in heaven? There, his authority is absolute. His will is carried out completely, perfectly, cheerfully, and gratefully by his ministering spirits. The scenes of heaven that are recorded in Scripture should move us to awe and worship. And we can ask, will this prayer ever be answered outside the new heaven and the new earth? You know, a common question we ask is, what is God's will for me? As we pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we need to remember some specific things. God has already told us a number of things that are his will for us as his children. 2 Peter 3:9 informs us that God's will is that no one should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's important to remember as we pray for the will of God to be done in the lives of the unsaved. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us that giving thanks in all things is the will of God for us. Yet how often you and I find ourselves complaining about our circumstances. 1 Peter 3:17 reminds us that the will of God for us may include suffering for doing what is right. Yet how often we feel sorry for ourselves in those kinds of situations. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 reminds us of God's will for us regarding sexual purity, part of our sanctification. Is my desire and yours to see his will fulfilled in this area of our lives, Or do we want to make room for accommodating the desires of the flesh? You and I should also use the concept in this phrase when we are not sure what the will of God is. We often find ourselves in circumstances where we don't have a clear understanding of what God's will is. So how do we pray then? Otto Koning tells the story of being in a church prayer meeting where they were praying for a sister in the congregation who was suffering from cancer. Some of the members thought they should pray specifically for her physical healing. But others said, no, we don't really know what the will of God is in this particular circumstance, so we should simply pray that God's will would be done. And both sides of the argument appealed to Brother Koning for his support. His response was something like this, as I recall it. We do not know for sure what the will of God is for this sister in her situation. What we do know is that God wants to use every circumstance of our lives to bring glory to his name. So let's agree together to pray that God will do in this sister's life and circumstance whatever will bring the most honor and glory to him. Everyone was satisfied. Everyone agreed to that, and fervent prayer was made to God for this suffering sister. Brother Koning later reported that this woman was indeed physically healed. So these are several ways in which we can obey this third imperative that relates to God's character, his kingdom, and his will for mankind. If you and I truly take this teaching to heart, our prayers will change. We'll have a new consciousness of God's holiness, a better understanding of his kingdom, and a greater desire to see his will accomplished on earth, just as it is in heaven. The final imperative, then, is a recognition of our need. In this section of the prayer, verses 3 and 4, the imperatives all focus on our needs as human beings. In contrast to the imperatives relating to God, these are all in ascending order, beginning with the least important, our daily food, and ending with the most important, the petition for deliverance from evil. Let's examine each of these petitions, these imperatives, just like we did the first three. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the only petition among the seven that deals with the needs of the physical body. This is the least important part of our existence. The three remaining petitions all relate to our eternal existence. Kenneth Woost, in his Word Studies in the Greek New Testament, translates this imperative as, our bread for the coming day be giving us daily. Another gives the sense of this petition as, give us this day the bread which this day's necessities require. Now you recall in Matthew 6:31, Jesus cited food and clothing as the two necessities of life. He told us not to be anxious about these things, but to trust God for their provision. So why, now, does he instruct us to ask for our daily bread? Well, to ask for something is not an automatic indication of anxiety. If that were true, Jesus' subsequent teaching on prayer would make no sense. We human beings have needs, and part of this model prayer is the recognition that we are powerless to meet most of them in our own strength. Praying to God for his daily provision actually frees us from anxiety as we acknowledge our dependence on him. It also reminds us that today is all we have. There is no promise of tomorrow. But so often, we'd like to know what the physical provisions are for days and months and even years ahead. But this model prayer brings us back to basics. Our bread for the coming day be giving us daily. How dependent are you on the Lord for your physical needs? The next petition is, forgive our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. Here we move from the physical needs to the spiritual ones. And again, Kenneth Woost helps us understand. Forgive our sins as we are in the habit of forgiving those who sin against us. So you see, there's an ongoing process here. It's not just a singular event. Notice that the first clause deals with the forgiveness we seek from God for our offenses against him. And the second deals with forgiveness we need because of our offenses against each other as humans. The importance of this particular imperative cannot be overstated. Our failure to pray it and live it has led to terrible consequences in individual lives, in families, and in churches. When we ask God's forgiveness, we are asking Him to discharge, to send away, to dismiss, or to wipe away our sins. And He does that based on the efficacy of the blood of Christ. The power of the blood of Christ is sufficient to cleanse all sin, past, present, and future. And Jesus explains that our prayer should spring from a willingness to forgive everyone who is indebted to us. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, Jesus gives us this instruction. If you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there, and going your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. In my own experience, I have at times approached the throne of God in prayer, only to be reminded of a broken relationship with another person. At that moment, I have a choice. I can follow Jesus' teaching and pursue reconciliation, or I can continue praying with the sense that my prayers aren't going any higher than the ceiling of the room where I'm praying. Matthew's record of this prayer refers to our sins as debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those indebted to us. Luke mixes the metaphor by using both terms, sins and debts. The meaning is clear. As the debtor in the creditor's hand, so is the sinner in the hands of God. Jesus Christ paid the debt of our sins, a debt you and I could never pay. For that reason alone, we should be, yes, must be, willing to forgive the offenses of others against us. To do less is to devalue the sacrifice of Jesus for you and me. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to pick up our study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Teach Us to Pray. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. That's Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Teach Us to Pray. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Teach Us to Pray, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Nepali, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Teach Us to Pray. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.